Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Bank First is a locally owned bank that makes decisions right here at home. Local decisions, local support, and local folks who care if your kid made the team. Stop by your local Bank First branch to learn more. Bank First, neighbors, bankers, friends. Bank First is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. Bank NMLS 454063.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, this is the day we've been waiting for, Dima Mixon. Baseball opening day, Bob Getty, Dima Mixon, and of course, we couldn't open baseball season without our very special co-host. This is like year 4 or 5 for Hill Denson. Coach, all the checks clear and everything's good.
Well, I hadn't cleared yet.
Well, just the first year,
5 years ago.
They'll clear eventually. clear. Hey, I broke the cardinal rule today, guys. There's an old broadcasting rule. You come early, you set up all your gear. I came early. I sat under the tent for an hour about with Lee Applewhite shooting the breeze, and then about 20 minutes before the show, I thought, well, I should hook up the gear, only to realize there was no electricity anywhere near me. So we scrambled, and actually we got set up, what, Dima, about 120 seconds before we came on there.
I'll tell you what, I was, you know, of course, I came in a little late today, and I walked up and I saw the tent, and there was no equipment under the tent, and I was like, did the rapture just happen? And I walked in, and they got cords everywhere, and you know, it was crazy.
Hey, we got a great show today, 2-hour special show. Really grateful for the baseball stadium to invite us here, the baseball program to invite us here every year. We've got Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV is going to join us a little later. Got our sponsor, Parrish Tractor. They'll be with us later. Scott Berry's going to be on the show today. Jeremy McClain, I ran into my favorite play-by-play announcer, and I invited him to stop by, so I think we're going to have John Cox. But it doesn't really matter because we've got Hill Denson. And anytime you can have a co-host that the baseball field is named after, that's pretty good, Coach.
You got a good one.
Do you ever get tired of looking at your name out there on center field?
Well, no, I don't guess I do. I think that's a pretty good honor.
Oh, I think it's a real honor. Yeah, yeah. So, Coach, why is nobody knows baseball better than you? Why is opening day? I think baseball opening day is the most special day of all sports, really. There's just something unique about opening day, Coach.
Yeah, I wrote Oz in the coaches this morning after I woke up. I said, you know, waking up on opening day, the morning that you've been working for a year to get to, is a special thing. And I just wrote them this morning that you just not everybody has to get to feel that. So It's one of those things. And they're excited. They're ready to go and have been for a while, to tell you the truth. They're ready to roll.
Did you sleep well the night before opening day when you were coaching?
I think I always did. I don't ever remember not sleeping about it. So, I guess everybody's different on that. But never had bothered me about sleeping.
All right, Coach, you're at a lot of practices. We watched one together last Friday. What's your observation of this 2026 edition of the Golden Eagles?
Well, I'm never as optimistic as you guys are because I know things that happen to you and that sort of thing, slumps and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited about it. I think they're going to be a very good ball club. You know, I think it'll be like any other ball club. You'll go through ins and ups and downs and ins and outs during the season, and you just got to live with that. That's part of the game. And all the guys mentioned, you know, everybody you talk to just about mentions how it's a negative game. It makes you, it wants to cut your feet out from under you every day. And so, you know, that happens, and that's just part of it. And the only people I know that hadn't understood that are the people on the Internet writing all the stuff every day about wanting to fire the coach as soon as the bunt didn't work or whatever.
Well, Coach, this is a very veteran team, you know, considering all the pieces they have coming back. I guess how important is that, especially in this day and age, to have experience out there, right? I mean, that's just so big.
And that's what you see happen during the year, each year with us, too, with Oz and Scott before him, but, mm-hmm. you know, were so good about getting those youngsters in a little bit here and there early in the season. And sometimes we want them to go out there and pitch our ace every day, you know, yeah. and that sort of thing. But he gets them in early, and by the end of the year, they're not freshmen. Mm-hmm. When they go through a schedule like they put them through, and that's really good, I think. You know, whether we win or lose ball games, it's so much more to the experience than that, and especially these guys that are freshmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you like scheduling? I think it's clear to say that the first month of this year may be the toughest first month schedule this team's played in a long, long time. Does that reap benefits down the line?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was just saying. The scheduling is tougher and tougher. And, you know, I'm not sure I agree it's the toughest one we've had, but it is a tough schedule, and, mm-hmm. and that's great. That's great because, again, if we lose a bunch of these ball games, it's not the end of the world because we're getting where we want to get to toward the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, you know. RPI is such a big thing right now, right? And this series that we're about to watch between UC Santa Barbara, Southern Miss, you know, down the line, whoever wins this series is going to have a very nice win on their resume for hosting rights, right? Both these teams should be in that discussion at the end of the season. So yeah. Right off the bat, Bob, we got a big, big series for that.
Yeah, this would be a massive series win for Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah, especially considering on the road, right?
Coming here, mm-hmm. sure. That's harder, isn't it, Coach, to go on the road and win?
Yeah. You know, guys, you guys always talk about that, playing on the road and all that, especially in basketball and football, and I guess it is a little bit different. But, you know, it is tougher. It's definitely tougher, but I don't think it has anything to do with riding there and whether you go on a bus or in an airplane or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it just has to do with you don't have the people here behind you and screaming and yelling for you. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's not – The road is tough, there's no question about it, and they do give you more points. Back when I was coaching, they started the RPI, but they wouldn't tell us how it worked.
People still don't know how it works.
Yeah, we had no idea, and of course, that made me think in terms of lightening the schedule all I could to get as light as we could to get as many wins. We knew winning was important, And then, you know, as we found out more and more about it, it's obviously the best way to go is what you're doing now.
Does opening day make you miss coaching?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit. But the fact that we moved back to Hattiesburg recently, a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. the fact that I've been out here with the guys and just seeing them, that's the main thing, is mm-hmm. Just being around them get a good bit in the clubhouse. And they kind of taken me under the wing as the old coach, I guess, and all of them are very, very good, you know, to work with.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, let's cut your names on the field out here.
Well, I guess so. I guess so.
What are they going to say to you? I mean, they love you. I understand that. But even if they didn't know you, I mean, your name is on the field out
there,
right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Speaking of good lefties, here comes one. Right
yeah, there it is.
The old left-hander. He's right there. There he is, right there. Yeah.
Jack Duggan.
Did you ever get to see his prowess out on the mound, Coach?
Oh, yeah. He was out there in the inning or two.
Uh-huh. Did you coach him?
I coached him.
Did you really?
He was in it actually one of my first years or second year here or something. Yeah, I coached him. You know, I'm the one he's always harassing about. He's the only guy in baseball that's ever been given a scholarship not to play.
That's what he says. Yeah. That's
wanted him to keep a scorebook for
him. That's 100% what he says. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely.
He's not on here to defend himself, though. So.
He's a good one, though. He's a good guy. Now, you know, ironically, you recently did a podcast with me, and I did one this past week with Scott, and I sort of left with the impression Scott really believes he's the best baseball coach.
Well, you know, my boy, he's a little dumb.
He's a little slow.
He doesn't know, does he?
No.
The friendship between you and Scott Berry is pretty much unbreakable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No question about that.
So since you've come back, is he buying you lunch? Is he taking you out regularly to eat and stuff?
Bob, don't ask a stupid question.
The answer to that is
no.
All right, Coach, what did the Golden Eagles Demo, my man here, tells me this kid pitching for Santa Barbara tonight is probably as good as there is in the country, are really, really good. What do the Golden Eagles have to do? Because we always hear that hitting is behind pitching early in the year. So what would be the game strategy coming in if you're facing a really good ace? How do you approach that early like this?
Just do what you do. Go out there and plan to hit it. You know, you got to – anytime they face a guy that's hit 100 miles an hour, you know you got to be ready for faster fastball. So you just got to adjust to the time, and it's harder to hit. And the big leaguers, you know, you see that when there's the guys are 97, 98, 99, you know, what they see every day is not a big deal. One jumps to 103, all of a sudden they can't get around. They got to see it a little bit, so.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, one thing about Jackson Flora, the pitcher on the mound today for CC Santa Barbara, he doesn't throw a lot of balls. So he goes right in the zone, you know. Yeah. And so I think a lot of times you just want to sit on that fastball, Bob, and wait for it. You know it's coming.
Opening day at Pete Taylor Park. We've got Hill Denson with us, Bob Getty, and Dima Mixon. We're going to be out here till 3 o'clock. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Scott Kirk, sports director, WDAM. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Opening day at Pete Taylor Park. And, of course, the Eagle Hour is here with our dear friend Hill Denson, Bob and Dima, and Coach Denson, co-hosting today's show. Got Scott Kirk with us, sports director, WDAM-TV. Scott, we were talking about the magic of opening day. Opening day at Pete Taylor Park, even more magic than a lot of places on opening day, right?
I definitely agree. Happy opening day, fellas. Good to see you guys. And I was actually thinking about this morning. I'm getting ready. I'm doing my hair. Trimmed the beard a little bit. I'm like, you know what? Not just the baseball players are excited. Everybody coming to the park today has a little bit of a extra pep in their step, it feels like. And that's just great for the entire community, I feel like.
There's just something different about it. I mean, it's just there's nothing truly like it. And even like you said, me and you, Scott, who's media, who's covering the team, we're still just as excited.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. We're just showing up to watch.
Right.
And we're getting ready to make sure the hair's looking all good. Imagine how the players feel.
Yeah.
You know, for those of us that have hair.
This means, too, that I will not have to go to another athletic event anytime soon that some stranger will walk up to me and say, hey, Bob Getty, how many days till baseball?
Yeah.
Because it's here, Coach Denson. It's here.
Yeah, it is.
Did you have to do your hair this morning?
Yeah, did you, Coach?
Yeah. Putting makeup on.
I see he's got a little rouge on. He's looking good.
Some eyeshadow.
I actually was a little dizzy this morning and out of sorts. So.
Oh, really?
You all right now, right, Coach?
I think so.
All right. I guess just brightened your day up to see us, isn't it?
That or the sunshine, I'm not sure which one.
See, Bob, I always thought the students and the viewers called you Bob Ghetto. That's what I thought.
Some do, actually. In fact, in my honor, they even made a social media page for me. It was great. I'm eternally grateful, Scott. So you know about the love affair I have with them, huh?
Most definitely. No, but it's all over now in baseball. In baseball season, it feels like all the pain just wipes away. Everyone's has a smile on their face.
All right, Scott Kirk, I'm going to ask you, how good can this baseball team be?
I think the sky's the limit for this team. I think it's fascinating. Lineup-wise, last season there was – It was really a record-setting lineup, right? 106 team home runs. I'm talking to Coach Travis Creel a couple weeks ago. He thinks that this lineup could be just as good as last year's was. There's a lot of confidence there. really, it's going to come down to the senior stepping up. Matthew Russo, how consistent can he be at the plate? Can Davis Gillespie do what is so hard for so many human beings to do in general and come back from a huge setback? Can the younger pieces like Ty Long step up? I'm really excited for it. Pitching-wise, that's the thing that's just like, if everything's firing on all cylinders, it's going to be magical. We got Colby Allen, of course, on the mound. So many options. The rotation's so deep, they opted to go with McCarty English over a proven guy like Cross Sibley or even a transfer from Tennessee like Thomas Crabtree. We haven't even mentioned about those guys, just the weekend guys. So just think about how deep they are. If things go healthy for USM and they win these big games, I think it's going to be really exciting. I do see a storm in there, or maybe they lose a series. But per usual, I see them going on a winning streak heading into May. That's what I think.
Coach, how much did you worry about the loss of two really tremendous players at shortstop, or three, shortstop, second base, center field? You just had an almost supernatural creature playing center field the last couple of years.
Yeah, he was.
And so how concerned are you about defensively up the middle of the field replacing all that?
You asked me how I would have been feeling about it. I would have been worried about it until I saw the guys that we have with Long and Marson, you know, the two center fielders. Not sure which one's going to play, but they're going to be good and strong. They just won't have quite the speed that they had in the outfield with nobody does.
Right.
In center field that we had last year. And actually, nobody even knew that going into the season.
Correct.
We didn't even know that he was there. I don't know if he knew it or not, how fast he
was. Yeah, I had barely heard his name spoken.
Yeah, so, for real.
He had been hurt for a year, you
correct.
Know, and been out. So, it, you know, you really never did get to see him and know how he was. His high school coach is a good friend of ours. And, you know, he had always said he can really – do everything, so and he could. So
there was actually three in a row, three really almost freakish center fielders in a row, wasn't there?
Yeah,
and hopefully one of these will turn into.
Well,
that.
Yeah, we would hope so. How much are you concerned, Scott, about replacing kids like Monaster and Ozzie Pratt?
I'm not really too concerned about it, honestly, because, you know, last season we were concerned about, oh, my goodness, they lost Slade Wilkes. And, I mean, they were just as powerful, right? What, 4 out of 5 years they have guys like Reed Trimble, Etzel, Cook, McIntyre. I don't know if the center fielders this year could be as good, but if the bats are picking it up, I don't know if it matters defensively as much, right? So it's going to count on that, and Urban is a consistent bat. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I think there's just going to be some growing pains early in the season, but I don't anticipate it to be like the reason they lose a game late in the season, right? Like, there's going to be some moments where it's going to be like, oh, Nick Monaster would have made that play. Oh, Jake Cook probably would have made that play. But it's just plays that veteran players like those players could make at that point in their season. So early in the season, I envision it to be maybe some growing pains, some areas. But by April and May, they're going to have those positions very much, you know, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. But
well, really, if I may add.
Worked out. Thank you, Coach.
At Butler, Joey Urban did play center field. Obviously, we didn't get to see that last year because there was an alien in Jake Cook. But if Joey Urban was good enough at Butler and he was an all-conference-type guy, come May, he might make that play because he's played so many games at center field again.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect Caleb Stelly to play center by the time in April and May, but we'll see.
That's fair.
I mean, there's just – they have a lot of depth there. I mean, I think the biggest question to me is second and short because Ozzie and Nick were just so consistent at those positions. And those are the positions to me that early in the season you might see some woes. But, again, that's early in the season, and you expect that at multiple positions.
And I felt the same way when Dickerson left.
Correct. You're very right on that.
About whether or not Ozzie could do it.
Yes. Yeah. And this program's in a position now where they reload. They are not just searching for the next player. They expect Ty Long at shortstop to be just as good as Ozzie Pratt.
And you definitely feel like this lineup is not final. So, I mean, come May, there's definitely going to be one guy who's stepped up that we have not even mentioned in this two-hour show probably because that's how deep I feel like the program is. Obviously, this lineup's going to change so many different times. And that's what's exciting to me, to see who's going to step up to the challenge when this team needs it most.
All right, Coach, next question for you. You take a kid like the one that will be pitching tonight who was a relief pitcher last year And now all of a sudden he's the Friday night guy. How do you have to adjust your mentality as a pitcher to go from being the guy that's coming in, relieving three or four innings to the guy that's starting out?
I don't think that's a problem at all, Bob. He, you know, he's matured enough to handle whatever situation he needs to handle. And, of course, he's added a couple of pitches, too, that he didn't have to have as a reliever. He's added another pitch, too, since he's starting, and they've seen him so long. So He'll be fine. There's no question about it.
Were you at all surprised at the weekend lineup when you saw it? Maybe a little bit surprised at the Sunday starter, maybe?
Well, no, I wasn't sure about McCarty because he's been out, so right. I wasn't sure if he's back. In fact, I thought he was hurt a little bit the other day and wasn't going to be able to pitch this weekend. So, I wasn't surprised at that at all, and I'm not sure. They got so many to pick from. I'm not sure who they're going to go with next. Do we play Tuesday, Wednesday?
Tuesday, yep, and then they go to Round Rock.
But you would expect – perhaps to see changes in that rotation as we get a little further in the season?
If somebody steps up different, you think that usually that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you might change the days they throw and somebody becomes a reliever out of there or something. Mm-hmm. So,
And safe to say that no matter how hard the competition is going to be in the first month, Oz is going to pitch a lot of kids, put a lot of people on the field, right? Doesn't matter who you're playing.
No question about that at all.
And you do that for what reason, Coach?
To get that experience. You put one out there, you've never heard his name yet, so or the fans haven't. They're going to get them a little time under their belt and see what happens.
And he is oblivious to the criticism about that, right? He could care less what people think about
that. I didn't ever know anybody criticize him about that. I've never heard that.
Oh, no, I'm just saying fans who early in the year will go, oh, no, don't take that guy out. He's pitching really well.
Well, yeah, I guess he would.
How much concern did you ever have for criticism from the fans?
Well, one of my main objectives when I took the job was to make it important enough in Hattiesburg and Southern Miss for people to complain and bitch at the coaches a little bit.
You did that.
Yeah.
You did that.
I was very successful.
And that was before social media, too, right? So they had to stop, bump into you at Corner Market. They couldn't just go tweet you.
That's true.
They couldn't, send you a direct message on Facebook and everything.
Yeah. Did you ever have someone confront you in a grocery store and say, you know, Coach, I think you should have done that the other day?
Well, yeah, about every day.
Jack Duggan used to do that a lot. No, I'm just kidding. But I will say on the pitching, everybody's on pitch counts early in the season. I wouldn't expect Colby Allen to go more than five or six innings tonight. Same with their guy on the mound, and that's kind of the reason they switch pitchers a lot. Even if he is pitching well, they're all on pitch counts early to start the season. So.
Right. Yeah. Scott, thank you, man.
I appreciate it.
Always good having you on the show.
Happy opening day, fellas.
All right, we continue opening day here at Pete Taylor Park, Bob Dima, and Coach when we come back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back. Opening day at Pete Taylor Park. And I tell you what, before we bring on our next guest, let's do this. I want to give you a phone number, 601. Pay attention to this now, 601-906-5862. 601-906-5862. You want to come watch some baseball this weekend? Be the third person to text 601-906-5862. We will give you a pair of chairback seats to enjoy Saturday's baseball game here at Pete Taylor Park. 601-906-5862. Third person to text me. I'll get your name. I'll put you two chairback seats at will call here. You can pick them up tomorrow, and you can be the Eagle Hour guest at tomorrow's baseball game. It's Celebrity Day on the Eagle Hour. We've got Hill Denson co-hosting, and now we have another dear friend of mine, longtime John Cox. John, we've known each other for about a half a century, my man.
How did Denson get to be the co-host?
Oh, well, he gets paid a lot of money to do this every year.
Have you met? Yeah, briefly.
Okay.
Briefly. Well, Scott, I spent more time on a bus with that guy than anybody I've ever known.
He calls a mean game in bingo.
We used to play bingo on the team, on the bus.
Uh-huh.
We'd have, I guess I would do it sometime, but somebody would get up there and we'd call, and, you know, it was a lot of fun. Those bus trips to Blacksburg, Virginia, and Charlotte, North Carolina, so we had to have something to kill the time.
Was there ever a time that Coach Denson was really quiet, sullen, didn't want to talk?
I don't. You know, most of us would get a nap on those buses. I don't ever remember you going to sleep. Did you ever go to sleep on
there? I was trying to help the driver.
Yeah. Which is why it took 14 hours to get there instead of 10 hours.
We do have an opening day lineup now, if you want me to run through it.
Let's hear it.
Morrison at second to lead off. Joey Urban, center field. Second, Matthew Russo in the three hole at first base. Davis Gillespie in left field at the four hole. Tucker Stockman in the five hole at catcher. Ben Higdon in right field is the six hole. Seven hole, Trey Barrett at third base. Caleb Stelly at the DH in the eight hole. Ty Long in the nine hole with a shortstop. And on the mound is Colby Allen.
Hmm. Any surprises there for you?
I'm surprised at Stockman being in the five hole. That's pretty surprising. I figured that Higdon and Barrett would have been in front of him. But other than that, that's pretty on par what I had predicted. So,
anything you hear there surprise you, John Cox?
No, nothing surprises me anymore. But, you know, that's you know, that's got a couple of newcomers in there and the veterans, so that's pretty solid lineup. A lot of guys that have played a lot of baseball in that lineup.
Yeah, how many years is this for you now? What baseball season are you in now?
I was telling somebody today, when I was a student, I did my first Southern Miss baseball game at the old baseball park over there that was double it's a football practice field. That was in 1977 when I did that. I was a student here.
Yeah. Well, good deal. So you've seen a few.
I have seen right at 2,600 Southern Miss baseball games that I broadcast.
We went on the air regularly about 87, wasn't it? About 80. I was here a couple of years before we went on doing road games and all of them.
I'm going to put you on the spot, John Cox. What is your greatest memory of this guy sitting at the other end of the table?
You want a serious one or a funny one?
Give us both.
The serious one is, there is without a doubt, he's the guy that made Southern Miss matter to people. He got people coming to Pete Taylor Park when it was a little bit more than a couple of sets of bleachers and a brick press box that they kept the equipment underneath to cut the grass and do all that. So my greatest memory of Hill Denson, honestly, one, he was fun to travel with, but he's the guy. I'm not sure if anybody else could have come at the time he came and turned it around the way he did, from a program that was really nothing more than something they did until football started again in the fall, to something that really mattered to people, not only people who were Southern Miss people, but people who were baseball people. So that's what I remember the most about him.
What's the funniest thing you remember about him?
Well, there were, you know, we used to ride buses. I think the first time we ever flew would have been to Austin, Texas to play in the regional. I don't remember ever flying.
Minnesota one weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Minnesota one time. But we play on those buses, and I guess in the days was it the Express then? I can't remember. But anyway, we'd get on that bus. And after a while, you know, we'd watch something on TV every once in a while. Well, I guess we didn't have TV. We had to stop at Blockbuster and buy cassette tapes to watch movies. But we'd get on there and play bingo for hours upon hours. And if Hill didn't win, he would just cheat and find a way to win. But the players got so tired of that, we had to quit playing that.
How do you cheat in bingo?
We never figured it out. That's why he kept winning.
We had a lot of premature bingo lessons.
That's right. That's right. He came up with that term.
Do you just start X-ing out random numbers on your little card?
Bingo lessons.
This will be over Kelly's head right
Coach,
now.
Is it true one time? I had one of your players tell me this story. You got really upset.
That's probably not true.
He'll get upset? No way.
That you got upset with him because he said he was tired after he had thrown 150 pitches. And you told him he still had something left in the tank.
No.
Hey, the only guy, I don't know if he, the only guy I ever saw throw that many pitches was Damon Pollard. Damon Pollard would go out there. He had an old rubbery arm there, man. That guy'd go out there and pitch forever, and it didn't matter how many pitches.
Pitch complete games most every time.
Yeah.
He didn't want to let you take him out.
So no.
The main thing was.
Here's a dumb question. I'm pretty good at asking those. Why can a softball pitcher just pitch, but a baseball pitcher has to have several days of rest?
They tell me it has to do with the
arm angle.
Arm angle that you throw in your the anatomy of your body. So that's kind of an irregular motion up here.
Now, seriously, though, did you use pitchers more extensively back in the day than maybe they do
I
now?
I don't think so. We used a lot of relief pitchers and all that. So we didn't ever have many that could go now. Well, you don't anymore at all, really, in the big leagues or anything. They just go six and then one, you know, that sort of thing.
John, before you leave.
They don't throw as hard now or back then than they do now, though, right?
I think that's a bunch of bull, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do want you to know this, John, before you leave. Coach confirmed the story today about the old left-hander Jack Duggan. He was, in fact, the first player in Southern Miss history to be awarded a scholarship for leaving the team.
But he didn't leave. Yeah. He stayed with
He
was a scorekeeper.
He turned his glove in and got a scorebook.
He got a scholarship for that.
Yeah.
To keep score.
Yeah, to do public relations. Really, we didn't have any public relations much for baseball.
Uh-huh. But he was actually a pitcher at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he pitched. He was a good left-handed pitcher. He didn't throw hard. He threw about 28 miles an hour. But that was
underhand.
But that was hard for him to hit, 28, 29.
Yeah, he fooled him. He fooled him with that one. He's way out in front of that, right?
I hope he's listening. That was his fastball, right?
Yeah. Sure.
So what was his changeup, 10 miles an hour?
Or? Maybe 15.
Oh, 15.
Hey, but on those buses, we had some of the most fun trips on those buses now. I mean it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Hey, before I forget, guys, let me congratulate. We've got a baseball fan here, Tanya Cooper.
Okay.
Tanya Cooper has won the chairback seats to tomorrow's baseball game. Well, she's going to bring a friend and be the Eagle Hour's guest at Southern Miss.
She couldn't have beat me, except I couldn't remember the last number you said. I was trying to dial it.
Could Hill maybe sit with them and kind of show them around the ballpark?
Would you be willing to do like a Hill Benson tour of the ballpark?
Sure.
Yeah.
She would learn places about this place nobody knew about.
She'd probably learn a lot of things that she's never heard before, if I were guessing.
Here come the Gauchos.
Hey, one question, Coach. What's it like to have a gigantic bobblehead in your own image? Do you ever stand by it and let people take pictures of you?
Yeah, it's different to stand by. You know, it's a little bit of... Well, being the best looking of the four is the best part.
That helped, didn't it? Yeah, that helped.
No belly.
Can I ask Hill a question?
Of course.
Hill, growing up, who was your baseball hero? Who did
Mantle.
Mickey? Yeah.
And Yogi. I like Yogi.
Were you a Yankees fan?
Oh, yeah, still am.
Were there a lot of people down this way that were Yankee fans at the time?
No.
Since there wasn't a... Or with the who was who
well?
Was
I guess there were a good many in Bassville where I was growing up. Little, my best buddies were big Red Sox fans, and I couldn't understand that.
Is that
at
because
all.
Of Ted Williams or why?
I don't know why they were that stupid, but I was just a Yankee fan.
Like a lot of people down here were Cardinal fans,
yeah, why?
Because they could hear the games on KMOX. And
well, now that was a little after what I'm talking about. I'm talking about elementary school and all that. But
pre World War II, then, right?
Yeah. But the Cardinals did become our team down here because you could hear them every night.
Camo X.
Yeah. All right, John, thank you for stopping by, brother. John Cox, everybody. We'll be right back. Going to continue opening day coverage here at Pete Taylor Park on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service. Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Pete Taylor Park, opening day. Our coverage here today, many great sponsors of our program today. We've got a special remote sponsor today, Parrish Tractor Company, no stranger to the Eagle Hour, one of our regular sponsors. And we got an old friend out here from our Ramey Motors days. He's now with Parrish Tractor Company and is the man that the town of Purvis was named after. And Tony, welcome back, man. It's good
hey,
to see you again.
How's it going, Bob?
Good, good. Tell us about Parrish Tractor Company. What a great company, and what a big, big supporter of Southern Miss baseball is Parrish Tractor.
Yes, sir, that's right. Yeah, great company, great people, great leadership. Bob, we the call of the bullpen, so really excited about that. Big sponsors here at Southern Miss. We love our Eagles. But, yeah, glad to be here at the Pete on opening day.
So if they call me in the ninth inning to shut this thing down tonight, you guys are going to recognize me at Parrish Tractor?
That's right. That's right. And then if you do really well.
What are you laughing about?
Oh, nothing.
They might bring you back next year and let you start. Isn't that what we got going on today?
I'm
huh?
a Friday night guy. I'm just waiting for somebody to give me the call.
Bob, the way that goes, you know, you probably got plenty of eligibility. Apparently they just hand it out now. So, yeah. I mean, you can still
call. Yeah. Yeah, Trinidad Chambliss, you know, he gets his tonsils out and he gets to play another year of college football.
His 19th year of college football. Like, and got to pocket another $3 or $4
next
million.
Next year, you know, the guy from Miami, man, I got a headache, man. Yeah, another year.
That's right.
See, not to single this kid out. We'll get back to Parrish Tractor. These guys are milking this that know they can't play in the NFL.
That's exactly right.
He's not going to play. He's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
No, he's going to get more money to go back to Ole Miss. He's got a $6 million NIL deal.
100%.
And I just feel bad for people like Deuce Knight who made this decision to transfer to Ole Miss. And now what's he going to do?
And he said he was promised the starting job.
Yeah, I mean, he really said that.
He said that when he decided to go to Ole Miss, and now he's not going to be starting over Chambliss.
No,
that's for sure.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, do they get to break that deal? If he was promised to start, does he get to transfer again? Like, when's it stop, you know, as far as that goes? But
I don't want to take up the time from your from your Parrish Tractor, but I will say this real quickly. I was with a former basketball coach yesterday, coached the Chicago Bulls. I mean, a big-time basketball coach, coached a lot of major college programs. He told me a quick story about a friend of his that is a basketball coach, and they paid – he wouldn't tell me the school. He said they paid the kid $750,000 to redshirt, and then the starter got injured, and the coach went to the kid who had the $750,000 and said, we're going to have to lift that redshirt. And the kid said, you know, coach, I just don't think I'm going to do that because that would cost me a whole nother year of NIL money. I'm not going to lift the redshirt. And he had already been given the $750,000.
So I looked at his world. Said, well, I'm the coach, yeah. And I write the names on the red shirt list, and yours is getting erased.
All right. Yes. Well, look, guys, I want to talk about Parrish Tractor. Yeah. I could bitch too much about the NIL. I apologize about that. What do you guys want our listening audience to know about your great company?
So Bob, I've been there almost a year now, and I've taken over the rental, and Hattiesburg Rental has taken off. Bob, we rent anything from the small stump grinders to trenchers. And, you know, we got the SVL, which is skid steer track loaders. We got all kinds of attachments we can put on the front of those. Bob, we got them. We do day rates, weekend rates, week, month. As long as you need it, Bob, we got it for you, man. We even do tractors. We got bush hogs we put on the back. We got all the implements you can put on the back there. All of them are four-wheel drive. All of them have front-end loaders. And then we got the excavators. You know, if you like to dig, we can dig it. You know, we got 2-ton to 14-ton. So we even got some big stuff there. Real exciting time there to be be there at the beginning of this, Bob. We're growing, and yeah. It's exciting.
You've got an excavator big enough to lift Kelly's hand? Is that right?
Almost.
Oh, almost. Okay. I thought, when you said 16-ton, I thought
R&D's working on that.
Oh, I thought that. I thought. Now, what's your role at Parrish, my man?
I'm the regional sales manager.
Oh, okay.
Over our store in Meridian and here.
You guys have quite a number of stores.
Yeah, we're up to 8 now, Bob. We got all the way from Gonzales, Louisiana, over there in the Baton Rouge area, all the way down I-10. You keep going to Mariana, Florida. And then, you know, we got a bunch of places. We got most everybody covered.
And he didn't get an introduction, so if y'all tuned in from Rock 104, you might know this man. But that's Patrick Hulk speaking on the other side.
No, I got you, Patrick. I apologize for that.
But, you know, Tony brought up a good point with the track loaders. You know, we were when we saw that scouting report from UC Santa Barbara with this pitcher throwing 100, we tried to get Coach Oz to maybe let us bring a skid steer and push that mound back a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought maybe we could get something working there. But
well, we're waiting to see if that special meal we sent him last night has taken effect yet. Hopefully,
it'll
kick in any minute now. And yeah.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You see him on the mound going,
yeah.
Is something wrong with his stomach?
Think of the Eagle Hour if you see him grabbing his stomach in the middle of the game.
Yeah. Kelly was probably put in charge of that.
Yes, he was.
No, he'd have eaten the food, so we couldn't allow it. We couldn't allow it.
He tested it, though, you know, before.
Oh, yeah, well,
that's why
he's not
here today. He's been having a rough morning.
Hey, real quick, guys, before we hit the break, why is Parrish Tractor so supportive of Southern Miss? Because you truly are.
Well, I mean, you know, it goes all the way back to, you know, Lee Parrish, who owns the company. I mean, he went to school at USM, so, I mean, he's got deep ties. But, I mean, most all of us, we're not from anywhere else but here. I mean, everybody involved in this location for sure is from the Pine Belt area, and most of us have always loved Southern.
Hey, I thank both you guys for coming here. We love Parrish Tractor. Please let the ownership know we're grateful for their sponsorship of our show, and you guys are welcome to hang around as long as you like.
Thank you, Bob.
Parrish Tractor, now renting.
We rent it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Second hour of the Eagle Hour rolls around in about 6 minutes. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour at Pete Taylor Park. Special coverage today sponsored by Parrish Tractor Company. And we do appreciate those guys from Parrish coming by. They were a fun group. And really do appreciate. Remember, they're renting stuff now. You want to rent an excavator, Coach Denson, you go out to Parrish Tractor and get one.
I need one.
Coach, I'd like to introduce you to our next guest. This is Scott Berry. Coach Berry, this is Hill Denson.
How you doing, Mr. Berry?
I'm familiar with you, Mr. Denson.
I told Bob, me and you just need to sit back and let them take over this segment. Yeah.
He was talking bad about you, Coach Berry, earlier in the show.
Well, consider the source. That's all I can say.
And, Coach, he claimed that since he moved back to Hattiesburg, he's been buying your lunch almost every day and paying the bill.
He should. He should and continue to do it. Yeah. I would enjoy that.
He owes you, doesn't he?
He really should buy everybody's lunch every day.
Why don't you, Coach? We might have time tomorrow. before the game?
I'll meet y'all over there.
Over where?
Wherever.
Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to go eat lunch with him, you need to carve out about 3 hours in your day.
Is that right?
Because that's how long it's going to take. The man chews Jell-O. I've never seen anything like it.
So Kelly might win that eating contest.
Chews Jell-O. Have you ever seen him eat gizzards? He always talks to me about gizzards.
Oh, you ever seen him eat a chicken? Look, there ain't nothing left but the bone. Buzzards don't even get that far down in there. He'll lick and suck that thing dry.
Go ahead, Coach. I'll let you.
I like a chicken.
I'll let you respond to that.
I like it.
No defense.
Coach Berry, is opening day still special to you?
It is. It really is. You know, a lot of great years of opening day and everything that leads up to it as far as getting your team ready to go. Of course, about a month from prior, you feel like you're ready to go, your team's ready to go, but you still have to get them in shape to run this season. So it is special. I mean, it's just a change of seasons for everybody, and especially here at Southern Miss, the way our crowds come in and what you'll see again today, packed house, it's just a special day.
You and I talked a little about this earlier this week, but how is it different for you now at a baseball game here?
A lot less stressful, I can tell you that. So I really enjoy where I sit and watch the game. And, of course, you know, like we talked, I like trying to figure out what each coach is trying to do. And I've got a lot more time to do it than they do on the field, obviously. It's a lot less stressful, obviously, but it's fun now to look back and see the people that you've coached with and coached against that come here and play us, and so it's been all good.
Scott, I think it's so awesome to see all the players consistently come back. You know, Dustin Dickerson's been out here, J.B. Middleton's been out here. You know, so many players that come back and train here. I think that's special for all these other players to see the bond, I guess, Southern Miss baseball always has.
Well, you know, I know we talk a lot about culture in this program, and that's it. I mean, when you mention that to me, I just think about the culture that we have here. Our guys, they love it here, and certainly we're very happy for them whenever they have the opportunity to move on to the professional level, whether it's their junior year or senior year. But I think at the end of the day, when baseball's over, they would always come back and say, man, I wish it would have never ended at Southern Miss. That's how I enjoyed my time. So I just saw J.B. Middleton walk in, Landon Payne, and Nico Mazza just walked in with their lawn chairs. So those guys are taking a little different seat than what they normally are here at Pete Taylor Park, but they enjoy it, and they've been a big part of the success. So they want to come back and support while they can before they head off for their spring training.
Coach Denson obviously made a great point when we were talking kind of about replacing some of the players. He said, you know, people didn't, you know, when you lost Dickerson and put in Ozzie Pratt, you know, people were like, I don't know if we'll ever replace Dustin Dickerson. And then Ozzie Pratt did it, and now people are kind of saying the same thing. Is Ty Long going to be like Ozzie Pratt was? Is Kyle Morrison going to be like Nick Monaster was? But you talked about culture. This program just reloads now.
It does. You know, it's really special in that we're at a point where we can do that and not really have to wait for that team to be built over 2 or 3 years. Of course, the portal in some situations help you get over that little hump, you know, that maybe we're back to a rebuilding. You know, there's some times where you can plug in some pieces like we did with Ozzie Pratt. I mean, when we lost Dustin, Ozzie was a great addition coming from BYU to us and stepped right in and contributed heavily to the success that we had here. But, you know, the program is at a point where kids want to be here and for great reasons. I know there was a couple of visits today that they had here, and those guys are going to see this crowd and this excitement, and they're going to want to be here too.
Landon Payne was actually at our studio yesterday, Coach, and he said he had just left the complex. He was out here working out, that J.B. Middleton was here working out. That's not unusual, is it? These kids come back.
You know what? And we have a lot of guys from other schools and even people that signed out of high school that come back and work out with us over the years. I mean, Anthony Alford used to come here and work out. Gerard Dyson, who never attended here, he would come. The other day, JoJo Parker from Purvis was here working out with Dustin. So, you know, we invite those guys to come. We want this to be a place where they feel like that they can come work on their game. And in all honesty, I always like for our guys to watch these guys because these guys' talent are at a high level. And to see them work and do what they do has to be a great and positive influence on our players.
Mm-hmm. Both of you gentlemen, and you should be credited with so much of the success that the program has today. What do you think, Scott, when you come out here now and just look around and it's quiet and maybe it's just you at Pete Taylor Park?
Well, I've been here long enough and have been through enough of it that I see everything that's happened here. You know, even in 1990 when Hill was building this stadium, you know, I was with Southwest Missouri State. We came here and played them in 1990, and all that was the I-beams. Cox was announcing down on the playing field right over there where the Batgirls sat. So the stadium was being built, so I got to see a little bit of that in 1990. And then, of course, the clubhouse we built in 2001. We did this stadium expansion with suites in 08. We went with new bleachers and black chair backs in 2012, I believe it was. Weight room in 2016. The artificial surface in 2020. So I've, you know, been fortunate and grateful enough to watch every bit of this, you know, develop in a program. Mm-hmm. So when I come here, it kind of takes me back in time, step by step, and how this thing was built.
You said something to me very interesting the other day. You told me that you thought that putting down the turf was a real turning point with the program that helped elevate it to the level it's at now.
100%. Oz and I talked about it the other day. He called me on Sunday after they scrimmaged and on his way home, and we talked a little bit. And I kind of threw it out there at him. I said, you know, Coach, I'm just sitting here thinking about when our program really, really took off to the next level is when we put that new surface in. It allowed us to do.
I had been telling him for 8 years to get the turf, and he wanted to, oh, I want to play on dirt.
But he didn't want to write that check either.
He buys lunch, not that.
Yeah, that's right. So, but, you know, I really do, man. I mean, I told Oz, I said, I'm going to go back and look at the last 5 years. You know, we put it in on 2020. Of course, that was the year COVID set in and shortened our season. But from that point, 21 till to date, I mean, it's the program had never reached that height consistently before. And I think it all goes back to that surface and our players, you know, knowing they can come every day and they have a chance to work on the field and develop without being interrupted by a tarp or wet ground. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have an indoor facility. I mean, our football program doesn't have an indoor facility. So we have nowhere to go when it's raining other than the covered cages, and all you can do down there is just hit. But with this surface, it allows you, as soon as it's over, the rain's over, to get right on there and never miss
a
beat.
You never missed a series since then, have you?
I don't think so. No, we haven't. And very few have even been rained out. Now, you know, we've pushed a couple to doubleheader just so, you know, we don't want to burn pitchers and all everything if we have to. But, you know, it's been a game changer for us. I really believe that.
Now, Hill told me he was glad you put it down because he was tired of doing all the maintenance on the grass field. That he had done most of the work.
He worked so hard.
He was the worst at that. But now, by the way, when he was here with Southwest Missouri, they stole our catcher signals and cheated us. Just cheated.
Who won that series?
Well, we only played one game.
Oh, okay.
It was we had been on a spring break trip. I remember we played Nicholls State. We played Jackson State. We came down and played Hill here. And then went back to, I guess we returned back home, I guess, somewhere, but it was a road swing.
Did you beat him?
We did beat him. But they made a charge on us late. Charlie Phillips helped him a little bit, too. He was umpiring at the time.
Always a pleasure, Coach.
Well, thank you.
Coach Scott Berry, everybody. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, well, you heard it here first on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Only Hill Denson, jokingly, of course, but only Hill Denson on a multi-market radio show would tell the story that Scott Berry came here from Southwest Missouri State, Glenn Dyer, and cheated the whole time he was here.
I'm surprised. shocked even.
Really?
Glenn Dyer joins us, really one of the best sports writers in the market that covers Southern Miss. And I got to ask you, I hate to repeat the same question to our guests, but I have to ask you your opinion of this. No one covers this baseball program any more than you. 1 to 10, what's the limit for this team, talent-wise?
You start to look over rosters over the years, and you always say, okay, this is a strength. This is going to get them in the end. Like last year, they didn't have enough depth with pitching. I knew they were going to hit. As you look at this roster, it may be one of the more complete setups they've had in a long time. So, I mean, sky's the limit with these guys. Of course, they got to go prove it, got to stay healthy. But this is hitting, fielding, pitching depth. I mean, it's all there.
It really is. And when you, Glenn, I mean, we got to see the lineup for the first time, and I know you and I have been penciling it in. Every time we go to lunch, we pull out, you know, this sheet of paper and write our lineup, you know, variations. Now that we see the official one, has anything surprised you? I thought Stockman in the five hole, a little high, I thought. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty on par with what we thought.
I think Stockman is where he should be. Mm-hmm. When you and I were talking, we were thinking he's probably going to be the 7 or 8 hole, and we thought, wow, what a luxury to have a bat like that, a guy that hits for power and average.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for him.
And then it really, when I was trying to think back to some of the other lineups for the Golden Eagles, that might be the highest a catcher has been in a long time outside of Montenegro, who would lead off, but obviously he wasn't hitting for power. But I mean, in the five hole, I mean, that's been a long time since a catcher's been that high.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree. The last time they had a really good catcher that could catch and had some power, you were probably in diapers or not born yet with Brad Wilcutt.
Yes.
So, this is the first, you know, really complete guy that can swing it for average mm-hmm. power, and he's a really technical, you know, catcher with a big arm.
Morrison in the leadoff, any surprise there?
That's a weird leadoff for me. He's going to have to, you know, break down on the swing and miss a little bit, hit for some average, work some walks. I want to see if he can do that.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to Stockman for a minute. This is a kid that has really developed physically over the last couple of years. And right now, he sort of fits this mold of Southern Miss baseball, that they're big, strong. They look like linebackers almost. And boy, he has certainly stepped into that, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, when he came here, I mean, no disrespect to him, but the word was, you know, some of the coaches were like, I'm not sure this guy will be here the next year. They told him what he needed to do. He's physically big and strong, but really stiff, and that's tough for a catcher considering what they have to do back there. Told him what he was going to have to do, and he took it to heart, went to work, man. He's probably got some of the best work ethic of anybody on this baseball team. And each year, regardless of the accolades, he goes to get better and better, you know, each season.
Coach, have you got a question here for Mr. Glenn Dyer? Do you know this man?
I know, Coach.
No, I haven't got a question. I'm just getting back.
Okay. Where have you been?
Coach Mary and I went down to meet the coach.
Oh, okay.
By the way, Jack Duggan just walked by this table and got on to Coach Denson for his 28-mile-an-hour fastball. So,
he heard that.
The old so he was listening.
The old left-hander, man. Nothing gets past Jack.
Yes.
Yeah, hard thrower, left-hander.
He said his fastball was 28 to 29, and he had a 15-mile-an-hour change. He said it was hard to hit.
Yeah, that batter's way out in front of that.
Kind of the Ephus pitch.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you just a minute about a kid that I just think is a – really special player is Davis Gillespie. And I think what impresses me about him more than anything, and Coach may want to comment on this as well, in this modern era of baseball, a kid as highly recruited and sought after as a player like this basically gets beat out of his position at the end of the year and rides the pines most of the end of the year. I asked him about that. Did he ever think of leaving? And he said, absolutely no. All I thought about was getting back during the offseason, working with Coach Creel, and getting my mojo back.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did last year. I asked Coach Creel, I said, he looks lost, and he said, "Yeah, he is lost. He's late on the fastball. He's early on the breaking stuff. I mean, it was a mess. It's not something you're going to fix over a course of 4 or 5 weeks." And I'm watching Davis. He's such a competitor in the dugout. He was miserable. I knew it was killing him not to be out there, but he sucked it up. Was a good teammate and went to work. I mean, he's gotten out here and he's cut down on his swing and miss. I think I look for him to put up some big numbers this year. He's a serious candidate to hit 15-plus home runs when he's on. Yeah.
What's that say about a kid like that, though, Coach?
Well, I want to echo the same thing. I kind of watched him all the time on the bench, too, and I know he was feeling awful. And he knew he had been beat out, and there wasn't any question about it, and he wasn't causing any problems and that sort of thing that can happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I'm tickled to death with him, and he is a strong human being when it comes swinging that bat. Now.
But it, that, again, speaks to the culture that's been developed here with Hill Denson and Scott Berry and now Christian Ostrander. I believe that a kid that I'm sure could have multiple choices of where he wanted to go play, he'd think about leaving.
Sure. I mean, and that goes back to the way they do things here. There are a lot of talented kids that come in here, come on recruiting trips. When they sit down with the coaches get a feel for who they are. Sometimes kids, you know, regardless of how good they are with the accolades, you're just not a fit for who we are. They don't bring bad elements into their locker room, and it's paid dividends on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm. And I hate to bring this name up, but one of those kids who did transfer out, Hurston Waldrop, you know, every time we hear about him from those coaches, they said, man, he was not, did not fit our culture, regardless of whether or not he transferred or not. You could see it coming because he just didn't fit the culture at Southern Miss baseball.
Yeah, the word was just not a team guy, and that's really no knock on him. Maybe he was into himself and what he was trying to do, but at some point you need to be a good teammate and pull for your guys and do what you need to do to bring them along with you.
True story, after the LSU series, I was on the field, I'm watching the kids' dog pile, and it caught my eye. Hurston Waldrop was standing over to the side with his arms folded on his chest, not participating in the celebration. Yeah. That's not a good sign as a coach.
No. The first time I called Scott right after it, found out that he was leaving, he said, no matter. That's fine. We'd love to have known him a little earlier, but it was fine.
I think the last day of the portal.
Yeah, it was very late. Very late.
You have those guys that show up sometimes that are just bring the team down. And
I've always heard that one player on any team can destroy the whole team. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Did you ever have many issues like that?
One or two. Mm-hmm. One or two.
Jack Duggan?
Yeah.
There he is. He's right coming right now.
No, we had a
29 mile an hour fastball right there.
Had a scholarship player.
We're going to be kicked out of the press box today.
Yeah, we're not even going to get to go back in.
You see why we have this guy co-host every year? He brings a lot of levity to the opening of baseball, brother. All right, Glenn, what they got to do to win tonight? This big matchup here. D1 told us a couple of weeks ago they thought it was matchup of the week, didn't they?
I agree. You got two top 25, top 30 type teams going at it. I think it's, they say good pitching always beats good hitting. Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah. You're looking for a low-scoring series?
I really do.
Is this going to be the best rotation they see all season, Glenn?
Yeah, we sat down and we went over this. I think this could easily be the most talented, weekend rotation that they face over the course of the season.
Of course, Southern Miss has got a pretty talented rotation.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Are you surprised McCarty English is starting Sunday?
No, sir. He's he came out, he got that screw out of his elbow, took care of the pain he was having, which was leading to some problems, up top. Didn't have confidence in what he could do and if he was healthy or not. He's healthy. He came out in the fall. The first half of the fall, he's having trouble locating his stuff. Then he started locating. You could see him starting to get his mojo back. And then since then, he's been lights out.
How good can he be, Coach?
Good. Good. He's a good one. No.
Yeah, three-pitch guy. I mean, if he only has two going, he's dangerous. If he gets three going, you're going to have a tough afternoon with him.
As will Colby Allen should be much more effective with that changeup, right?
Yeah, it's not even fair. If you're a right-handed hitter and you're gearing up for the fastball, the sinker or the slider, and he throws that out of that same arm slot, have fun.
Yeah. Should be quite a matchup tonight.
What did Travis Grill tell us yesterday about UC Santa Barbara, Glenn? He said – something like, yeah, all their guys throw in the mid-90s to high 90s. Thanks, Oz.
Yeah. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
He also told us this week that he gave it to the third. Now, I want to ask you this, too. Travis told us he would give it to the third inning of the game today before the Fire Creel stuff would start on the internet.
Yeah, and I think that's ridiculous. I've talked to tons of kids who've come here and played baseball.
They love Travis Creel.
Left here, played pro baseball, and, you know, they come back, you know, into a man. They say he's one of the, and they've had pro hitting instructors come back and tell me he's one of the most solid hitting instructors they've ever had over the course of their career. So.
Yeah. You give it past the third inning, Coach?
Maybe the fourth.
Maybe the fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got an unenviable task this weekend. Your approach with this, with these three guys, is going to be a little different than it may be with other teams.
Right. Well, let me tell all the critics out there: Travis Creel is going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Nor should he.
Thank you, my man.
Enjoyed it, guys.
All right, Glenn Dyer, everybody. Jeremy McClain, athletics director, Southern Miss. Still to come, as well as our baseball analyst. He's still to join us as well. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour at opening day at Pete Taylor Park. Hill Vincent has just told us he's officially the man that killed the Jackson Senators. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is that right? You managed them last year and they left town.
That's right.
This has been more entertaining.
Jeremy wouldn't come pitch for me.
Did you try to recruit Jeremy McClain?
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy McClain, athletics director, joins us. You've met this man.
I have, and he did try to convince me to unretire. And
is that right?
I had all my bullets had been spent by then. I had nothing left.
He wanted you to come pitch for the Jackson Mets.
He did pitch a year before.
I did. Yeah, I was. I played with him 2 years, my last 2 years, and then hung him up. And I was done.
We brought this up a few years ago on the air to Jeremy because we knew he would never bring it up, and we wanted people to know. But this man was a hell of a college baseball pitcher.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And pro pitcher. And pro pitcher, but he wouldn't pitch for me.
Yeah. That's because he had heard about you making guys pitch 150 pitches.
Hill said that Jack Duggan's fastball is 28 miles an hour. Is yours faster than that?
Barely. Just a little bit.
The changeup stays around 15.
Oh. Jeremy, you're responsible for all athletics, but I know you're a baseball player. This is a good day for you, too, isn't it?
Yeah, always. I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with my background. I think at Southern Miss, opening day for baseball is special for everybody, and everybody in the community, but our staff. I mean, I think everybody gets excited because you know kind of what the possibilities are. You know the work that's gone into, you know, getting to this point. You know, Hill had certainly had a lot to do with that, and Corky and Scott, and it's been building over time, and so I think everyone in this community is excited about opening day for a lot of reasons. And I think one of the reasons I'm so excited is the possibility of what can be. And I think we've got a really, really good squad. And I know Christian really likes the team in a lot of different ways. And so we've got a really challenging schedule, but it is a tremendous opportunity in front of us.
Yeah, I was talking to Scott the other day and talking about his decision to retire. And he was talking about how he had made that decision early in the year. And I asked him, would you have been comfortable doing that if Christian Ostrander hadn't been on the staff? And he didn't answer me directly. He said, well, it made it a lot easier decision. But that was an easy decision for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And that was probably the most difficult secret I've ever kept for 9 months or whatever it was. It was only
you knew the whole year.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had really made that decision, you know, as Scott and I, of course, that was on his mind. We'd had a pretty in-depth discussion, and he wanted to make sure that as you know, and this wouldn't surprise you, he wanted to make sure he left it the right way and it was in good hands. And so went ahead and made those plans, and we had to sit on it for 9 months, but it was the right move, and it certainly was easy for us to make that transition. And so in that regard, it was an easy decision. Christian had proven himself in a lot of different ways. But he definitely was the right guy to take over.
You couldn't have a better coach for the program, could you?
No. I mean, anybody who's been around him understand that, you know. And I told people when he took over, like, he and Scott are very different, but the things that are important to them are the same. The things, you know, the core values of the program, things that are going to be important for our guys involved in the program are going to be the same. The expectations are going to be the same. You know, Christian really is a guy who he chases perfection. You know, he did as a player. He has as a coach. He's a guy that's always trying to get better, and I think that's one of the reasons he's been so successful.
Jeremy, what does it say about this place that, I mean, there's been fans walking. We had an hour and a half till first pitch, and there's fans walking all through here just wanting to see BP.
Yeah, you know, you guys, I will say that it's dangerous for me to be sitting down here in the concourse. Somebody may want to ask me some kind of question. No, I'm teasing. Yeah, but so it is great.
Particular question?
No, yeah, well, pick one. It is great to just the excitement that comes with opening day and the anticipation, you know, kind of you can't help but enjoy people on whether it's social media or whatever, just kind of the lead up to opening day and the countdown and all the conversations that are happening, and you can kind of feel it in the air today, and it's a really special thing.
I'll tell you another spring sport that we think's off to a really good start. It's a softball team, Jeremy.
Yeah, you know, and they're in Florida this weekend. They'll play later today, a couple games later today. Another tournament down there, and really good opening weekend. Went 4-1, and they've got a really talented but really young team, and so that's exciting. I think they've got between freshmen and sophomore, they've got about 20 of their 27 or 28 total that are freshmen or sophomore. And so, you know, if she can keep that group together, she got a chance to really take a big step as a program. And I think they're going to compete this year. They're going to be young, but they're talented, and they're off to a really good start, as you mentioned, and got a chance this weekend to kind of continue down that path. And, you know, the challenge in the Sun Belt in softball, much like baseball, if you were a baseball program in this league trying to get your footing and make progress, it would be really difficult because it's such a deep league. It's the same with softball. It's a really deep softball league. And so Natalie's done a fantastic job, and we have improved in a lot of different ways. And I'm excited about what this year looks like and for the next couple of years.
I don't want to venture too far real quickly away from baseball, but we don't get an opportunity to visit with you that often. I want you to comment on a program that we think is tremendous, is the track and field program.
Yeah, you know, John's done a great job. You know, we haven't for a long time probably had as many resources as we want for our track program. And John has really adapted to that and figured out ways to put his teams in a position to score and be successful and go recruit the right way, and he just has he does a fantastic job, and I can't say enough good things about what he's done with that program and what he continues to do year in and year out.
Right, I agree completely.
Jeremy, obviously today's opening day, big day, but tomorrow for athletics in general, huge day. You got baseball in the afternoon, women's and men's basketball doubleheader, long day for you guys, but both basketball teams struggling right now, and I know you probably get this question a lot, but what do you do with those programs?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, there's a couple of things that have to happen. Number one, we're addressing one of those, which is the renovation process, and so that is going to be a big step, I think, for our programs. But that's not the only answer to that question. I think certainly those programs are in different places. You talk about women's basketball with Missy and her first year, and they've certainly had some injuries and some things that have hurt them and kind of put them in a little bit of a stretch here where they're trying to get back on track. And it's been frustrating for them because I think they're more talented than that. And then on the men's side, you know, Jay's had some injuries too. But, you know, we've just not been able to get over the hump. You know, the league from a basketball standpoint has so much parity. You know, there's not much difference from team to team and program to program. And so we have to find a way to kind of take that next step. And I don't think, look, I know people think, hey, well, this is not a basketball school or this or that. I don't feel that way. I think we can be successful in basketball. I think we have to be able to resource them the right way, which includes getting the facility right. And then we've got to figure out a way to make, you know, make it translate from putting together a quality roster to getting to a position where you're the top four seed in the conference tournament. I think that's where you want to be, and that is our goal on both sides. And so we've got some work to do, Dima. It's not a deal where we're just going to say, hey, well, You know, we're just not. We're going to be an average team. I don't accept that. Certainly, we've struggled to kind of get over the hump, and but we got to figure out a way to do that soon.
Any thoughts as to how you're going to address this moving forward at this point, or do you need to let the season play out?
I think we let the season play out. I think there's still a lot of basketball to be played. Like I said earlier, I don't think the league is such that, there's not anyone on our schedule we can't beat.
Right.
I think we're talented enough, whether we're talking about men's or women's, I think we're talented enough to do that. And so I think we let the season play out, and then we like we always do, we evaluate kind of where we're at, what's in front of us, what are all the kind of pieces to the puzzle. Certainly success on the court is a big part of that, but there are other pieces to that puzzle too. So I think we evaluate all of that and then try to, like I said earlier, to make sure that we make progress as a program and get back to where we want to be.
When that comes, will you as an athletic department exercise all possibilities with that, trying to get basketball back to where it needs to be?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yes. So, you know, when we talk about what does it take to be successful, it really, you've got to be able to have the right people in the right places. You've got to be able to resource the program the right way. And so, I know people like to think that we're not doing that. I think we are in some ways. I think, you know, from a rev share standpoint, I think our two basketball programs are on the upper half of the leagues. And so we're trying to give them the opportunity to get over that hump and to be in the mix each year. But sometimes, again, the facility piece has been a big one for us that we just got to get done. But we will exercise every opportunity and option to that will allow us to take that next step. And I think we owe that to everybody involved, and we'll certainly do that.
One frustrating thing is the games they lose are close. Yeah. They're close. It's not like they're just not able to compete.
Yeah, and that's can be encouraging, but also frustrating.
Real frustrating.
You know, because you're capable of winning some of those games, and we've kind of been either a little bit snake bit or just made some mistakes that have cost us. And so I think that's part of that evaluation process is too, how close are we and can we get there and what is it going to take to get there?
Thank you for stopping by.
You bet.
Anything you need to say to Hill Denson?
No, I will say it off the air if I need to.
Yeah, he will.
Jeremy McLean, athlete. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
Jeremy.
You guys. Appreciate you. So
we'll be right back. Daniel Stewart's next.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Here he comes. Hey, welcome back. About to wrap up a two-hour edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour opening day. Hill Denson, our co-host, is rejoining us now. He wandered off. We're not really sure where he went, but he's back now. Welcome back, Coach. Yeah, we're on the air. Come on, put them headsets on, Coach. See, he's making a little noise. Can you hear that?
A little bit, a little rattle.
Daniel Stewart joins us. Daniel, of course, is our baseball analyst. And, Daniel, I know you got to be pretty pumped up about today. Got a big pitching duel, and that was your specialty.
Oh, yeah. Can you ask for a better day to play baseball on opening day? I mean, it's just amazing coming out here seeing everything. But, yeah, you know, Colby's been in that nice, big, you know, closer role for the last couple years. Really anxious to see how he's going to step in and make that transition from being that stopper, being that closer, to being a starting pitcher. And he's probably on a pitch count tonight, I would assume. But, you know, it's going to be nice to see how far he can go. But, you know, we've seen him throw some long relief, 3 or 4 innings, so yeah. Got confident he can get it done.
Now, Daniel, could you have played for this man over here, Hill Denson?
100%. It would have been entertaining every day. We would have had a blast.
Yeah. He's been pretty entertaining today. Does that surprise you?
No, not at all.
Now,
not
Coach, here's your opportunity. Did you want to rescind that comment that Scott Berry had come here with Southwest Missouri State and cheated?
No.
No? You're not going to rescind that?
He cheated the whole game. I didn't know it. He admitted it to me one night at the deer camp.
Did he admit it?
The deer camp. That's off the record, Coach.
Yeah.
What's said at the deer camp is off the record.
Yeah, he had
or in center field.
Yeah, he hadn't been drinking any adult beverages that night, had he?
No,
he had,
I don't know about that.
When he had admitted it?
No, I think he was just guilty, felt guilty.
Daniel, you played for a pretty colorful coach in your own right, didn't you?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, you know, Coach Palmer was one of a kind. Miss him like crazy. Never a dull day. Still, you know, see some of the old players, and we talk about some of the quotes that he had and the things that he used to say. And, you know, I was a pitcher, and he once told me I didn't throw hard enough, throw over the white part of the plate. So I said, thanks, Coach. You know, I appreciate the vote of confidence there. But he was right, you know. But, yeah, really enjoyed my time with Coach Palmer.
To what degree did you interact with Coach Palmer, Coach Hudson?
You know, he was my assistant twice. He was my assistant my first year I hired him, and then helped him get the Meridian job, and then brought him back the year before he retired.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, he came to hunt camp too, by the way. So,
mm-hmm.
You know. That was a sight and some stories you need to hear, too.
I can imagine.
Anyhow, he was a good one and close friend. And always a good time with him. Didn't never know what might come out of that mouth.
He revealed earlier that Jack Duggan's fastball could hit 29 miles an hour.
Okay.
How hard did you throw down?
So I pitched around 85, and back then that was on the bottom end, but I could put it where I wanted, had a good changeup and a good curveball, topped out about 90, you know, if I really reared back and tried to throw, which is shocking today because I thought I was throwing pretty hard back then. Some guys were 91, 92. Every now and then you'd see a 94. Everybody today is 93, 95. We'll see some 97s, 98s. It's amazing what these guys are doing these days.
Why is that, Coach? So why do they throw harder now?
You know, I don't know. I'm confused by that myself. I'm not sure. I'm not real sure that it is much harder. I'm just the fact that they know and all this stuff about the spin and all that mm-hmm. that we didn't know and all that can maybe help with some. But, you know, it's not that much difference, really, of the good throwers. And we've been able to get those guys more over the years and play that competition that pitching up there. But we had some 96, 97 guys, too.
Did you? So y'all didn't measure all the spin rates and all the
– No, I didn't know about them.
Yeah. I don't think the technology was there.
It wasn't there. We didn't know
yeah.
about it either. And,
yeah.
People would talk about, you know, a guy, he's spinning, he's got a good break, he's mm-hmm. spinning and all that. I said, hey, it's pretty easy to me tell he's got a good break, you know, you just look at it and see that.
That's right.
Dalton McIntyre just walked past the bench, one of those great center fielders that we love to talk about. It's just awesome to see these foreign players come back for opening day.
It's too bad he doesn't have another year of eligibility left.
Well, I'm sure, I think his tonsils were hurting him, right? I think, you know. Remember, that's how Trinidad Triangulo got his extra year.
You know, if you'd have just been playing in today's era, Daniel, you could have played for 8 or 10 years everybody else
did. I could have made a career out of being a college pitcher.
Correct.
Yeah.
You get a headache, you get an extra year.
Exactly. Just say medical red shirt, give me another year, and, you know, we just roll on into the next season. So.
Which brings me to this question, and I don't know if I've ever asked Hill Denson this. Could you have coached today in the era of NIL and paying players and transferring from team to team? And how do you think you would have adapted to that?
I guess we would have adapted to it. You know, that to me, it rubs me wrong with guys. That's the problem that pro guys have all the time, is jealousies on the team, that's making more money and that sort of thing. I don't know how to handle all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how they do. They don't very well in pro ball, to be true.
Right. You don't like it, do you, Coach?
Absolutely not.
No. Daniel, I don't know if I've talked to a coach that does like it.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, I've always thought that, you know, the great thing about college sports was the purity of it. You know, this guy's out there, they're wearing their teams on the uniform because they want to play for them, not because they're getting paid to play for them.
Right.
So when you inject money into the equation, it just changes your motivations.
Right.
And, you know, it's the world we live in today, unfortunately. But yeah, I don't like it.
Coach, thanks for co-hosting today.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you next year.
Enjoyed it.
Right. Daniel, thanks. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Absolutely. See you.
All right. Thanks to Parrish Tractor Company and all our great sponsors. Baseball opening day. 2 hour Eagle Hour is wrapping up. We're going to go watch baseball, Dima.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. Until next time, everybody. Southern Miss to the top.
It is down.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.